All right, so at the debate, we saw that Trump refused to condemn white supremacy. And instead, he called for armed fascist gangs to stand by on election night. He promised that things would get ugly and that the election would not end well. He again made it clear that he will not accept the results of the election. Judging by his rhetoric and actions in Portland and elsewhere, he plans to call his armed supporters out into the streets and assemble a hand-picked military force to use against anyone who protests his rule. His promise that the election will not end well is a promise he intends to keep. President Trump sought out the assistance of foreign nations like Russia and the Ukraine to help him win the election, and the House impeached him for that. Now he intends to overthrow our democracy with or without the help of Vladimir Putin. He has shown no respect for Congress, the Constitution, the courts, or the rule of law. Now, in an act of hypocrisy, the Republicans are pushing through a Supreme Court nominee before the election so that Trump can rely on the court to enable him to consolidate power. We cannot rely on the Supreme Court, our politicians, or the military to protect our democracy. We must stand up and defend the Constitution and fight for democracy ourselves. We must be prepared to force this president from office when he refuses to honor the results of the election. The president has little chance of prevailing at the polls. At the same time, he has no intention of stepping down. President Trump is doubling down on his racist and divisive tactics to stoke conflict in order to justify the use of military force to put down protests against him. There is no scenario where this election ends well. We are asking everyone to be prepared to defend democracy and to refuse to accept a fascist America. Refuse Fascism will be organizing daily events for marches and organizing activities to prepare the people for the inevitable need to force Trump from power when he refuses to leave. Fighting fascism is not fun. But if President Trump refuses to leave and calls out his armed supporters and personal military force instead, we must be prepared to stand strong to save our democracy. This is why Refuse Fascism is organizing daily actions, starting here in Hollywood today and around the nation.
Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for taking time out of your, well, chaotic, I guess is the best word right now, wild schedules, and I hope you're not facing too much fear, but it is kind of time to tune in and focus together on solutions. I have two wonderful guests. This is Lynn Mystic Healer with Spiritual Emergency Training today, and yes, I have Rich Procidas here again today. Thank you so much, Rich, P-R-O-C-I-D-A, who is a constitutional lawyer, and his podcast is really important to get this his podcast out there. It's Bible Studies for Progressive Real Christianity Movement for, you know, multidimensional and evolving conscious communities, real evolving Christ consciousness. And anyway, he also has webinars, Rich does, proceeded to that help people understand how media propaganda, you can go to media psychology propaganda programs and check them out, because it kind of, you know, can be used for evil, like MK Ultra stuff, or it can be used for really good. Anyway, the propaganda, how it's used to advertise, market, and control the masses. And then we also have Frank Pekarsky, who has quite the background around propaganda and dealing with all kinds of different departments that I'll let him explain, but it's also his background is timber, logging, and a restore, and let's see, he does slabs, he makes wood slabs and gemstones and carvings, and yeah, he's all, is very much was brought up to be involved in the woods, but also how the big ag and the drug wars situations can be totally shifted to healing systems and money with, well, anyway, we'll talk about it. Thank you, come on in, thank you, Frank, and Rich, thanks. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Rich, do you want to do an update first with what, you know, the last Saturday, what go ahead, and then we'll go from there on all this.
Yeah, so right now what's happening is it looks like the president is going to not respect the results of the election. There may be a situation on election day where it looks like Trump is ahead, and then Trump may decide, well, we want to throw out all these mail-in ballots, and he's sending people to object to every ballot that they can possibly object to. And so I think he's taking his cues from Putin. Everything he's done, there's no restriction on his ability to do. In other words, it's all been about, what's the word, tradition or just the way things are done. What'd you say, Frank? The way things are done in Russia. Conforming to what has been the pattern, the standards. In fact, one of the traditions or norms that holds us together is the fact that the president voluntarily leaves office if he loses the elections. Trump has not said he would do that and said he may not leave office. It seems very clear from him putting what he said and what he's doing that he plans to overthrow our democracy and install himself as a dictator. So the plan is for everyone to make sure that we're out in the street on election night, perhaps. I mean, the concern there is that he's going to bring out the troops. But we need to be out there the moment he says no more to the ballots and says he won, and then the moment he calls off the election. So that's the first crisis that we're looking at, and we need people ready to go out in the street. We're probably going to have people organizing. I know there are some groups out there like Refuse Fascism who are going to be having daily protests. So we need to be prepared for this eventuality, because it looks like our democracy, there's going to be like a coup or the overthrow of our democracy this election. And so we all need to be prepared for that and ready to confront that when it happens.
I hear you. And And the thing is what I'm getting from the vets I talk to, Vietnam vets, and even the latest ones from Afghanistan. I have friends that are here from there, and they're not going to stand for it. They're tired of having their lives put on the line for the military-industrial complex so they can just make more bombs and destroy more countries and get more money through the Pentagon for more of their bombs and stuff, perpetuating evil around the planet. And let's agree on this, that, you know, we are the most evil of all the countries right now. I mean, we are the bullies. And let's face it, folks, I mean, this is not love, peace, and harmony by any means. Where's all the money that's missing from the Pentagon? $21 trillion. I mean, that'd go a lot to help a lot of people around here. Also, what I'm passionate about is all these women that are missing from the border. Nobody's talking about it. I mean, there's almost 2,000 women that are disappeared and gone. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's where they want. This is really, really pure evil perpetrating itself on the planet, and we've got to stand up to this. You know, is that what we paid our tax dollars for, to, you know, perpetuate the killing and poisoning of the planet and people on it, minorities in these little countries that are already starving? If you want to really see what we do, Google Earth Yemen. Google Earth the places we've been. They're all just piles of gray rubble now. They're starving thousands and thousands of starving kids and people. And, you know, we're not doing anything about it. It's just really sick how this plays out. And in our news, we don't hear much about it, you know, but if you get on international radios around the world and listen what's really going on, it's actually pretty terrifying.
I think there's a spiritual dimension, or at least I have this short poem that sort of brings it into focus. Do you mind if I read it?
No, we love it.
Okay. So, the prophet Jeremiah, speaking for God, said, "See, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death. Those who choose the way of death will die by pestilence, sword, and famine, and those who survive will be handed over to a king who will strike them with the edge of his sword and shall not pity or spare them or have compassion." But the book of Proverbs says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death." Jesus said, "I am the way and the life." And the way of Jesus was the way of the cross. It's paradoxical, but the way of life requires that we put our bodies on the line, that we become willing to give our lives for the sake of others. The way of life requires us to stand up to the powers and authorities of this world, to resist evil and demand justice. President Trump is killing us. 200,000 plus dead as a result of his denial of the truth about the coronavirus. He has offered no sympathy, no condolences for those killed by the police. He turns away asylum seekers and imprisons immigrants, even taking their children away as punishment. Now he threatens to overturn the election and remain in power. He looks up to dictators and shuns the law. It is clear that he has no intention of obeying the Supreme Court, Congress, or the results of the election. We must be prepared to stand up, go out into the streets, and put our bodies in the line to resist this injustice. Thank you. So,
well, that kind of leads me. We need to, as people, unite together. The good Christian people that there are in this planet need to realize when they're being duped and when they're being lied to and who's doing it. And Lynn and Rich, I applaud you for your countless hours of free time you donate to this cause. I mean, I'm new at this, but I applaud you both for the way you hold yourselves and are on a higher standard. I don't think I'm quite as high a standard as you guys, but I'm being honest with my heart here. I am heartfelt wishing for change, and you guys are helping perpetuate that, so thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, Frank. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've done all I can to educate the public about propaganda, both on the left and on the right. But I haven't been really able to address that propaganda on the right. I was talking to my brother recently. He's telling me how mail-in voting is going to be a mess. And I'm pointing out to, well, there's really no laws that have changed. I mean, people have submitted their ballots by mail for absentee ballots. He said, no, absentee ballots are different than mail-in ballots. Well, not really when it comes down to it. So right now, there's also the UPS, the United States Post Office, propaganda that he's spreading to try and overthrow the election. And then there's propaganda about the violent protest. And the idea that, to me, the idea that Trump, because polls indicate that people still believe Trump is better on the economy. Trump is going to destroy our economy long term.
Isn't that his path? Like, is it six bankruptcies with Trump, his businesses? Isn't that his path with business?
Yeah, a lot of bankruptcies, maybe even more.
It's either six or eight.
Yeah, and then I was listening.
And he hires minorities, and he hires minorities and works them, and then doesn't pay any of them, and they have no recourse because they're minorities. And he laughs all the way to the bank, and then goes and does it in another doggone state. It's ridiculous. It's really
Just because he threw a lot of money at Wall Street and the stock market is still going up, even though it's sort of calmed down, but at some point that bubble's going to burst. You feed money into the market and it makes the stock market rise. But right now, where's the economy at? I mean, so many people are out of work. The repercussions of the coronavirus and his incompetence are going to have terrible consequences for our future. It's like people are, ignorant. They just aren't paying attention, and they believe what they want to believe. And so we're all under some sort of illusion or hallucination about what reality is. So Trump cannot win this election legitimately. We have to recognize that. According to the poll numbers, he's not capable of winning. And the Republicans have failed at every point to uphold the rule of law, to defend the Constitution from attack, to hold the administration accountable, to take their role as a separate body to operate as a check on the executive who has abused his power. At every point, they have failed to hold the president accountable, to hold our system together, to stand up for our Constitution and stand up for our way of life. And they have been feeding us lies and misinformation and laughing about the fact that they're feeding us lies. And while there are lies and misinformation on the left as well, it's not to the extent that on the right that it's almost all a fantasy. Now, there's some truth to each of these, because if there were not some truth in there, then it would be totally unbelievable. One of the new types of propaganda that we're beginning to see prop up. See, propagandists, they tend to want to slap us against one another to cause conflict. So, like, for instance, you had anti-liberal propaganda on the right, very negative towards liberals, and then you got neoliberal propaganda on the left, which says, oh, these terrible neoliberals. And in this way, we get both liberal democracy and liberal democratic candidates attacked from both sides. And then you have to accept that there's some ideological struggle. But there isn't an ideological struggle. There isn't this struggle between neoliberalism and socialism going on. It's only expediency. They have no ideology. This is about power and money, plain and simple. There's no ideological basis for what the Republicans are doing, and even the Democrats are not ideological. They're just trying to get elected. They're trying to do things and get things done. Some of them are corrupt, but a lot of politicians want to do the right thing. And so they're not necessarily corrupt, but the Republican Party is entirely corrupt, and to the point where they no longer, if they ever did, care about our democracy and our Constitution and the American way of life and freedom.
Well, we have to reframe that, okay? We can't do blankets either of all just mass right or left, because even the Lincoln Project, you know, which is Republicans, are coming out with, you know, similar issues. And then you have, like, on BBS, you've got Senator Michael Brown, you know, that works with media psychologists, PhDs, and what have you, Maria Sanchez and what have you, and she's Republican.
Well, Lynn, I was really pointing to the politicians and not so much the people in the Republic. And there are some Republican politicians, they actually believe what they say they believe, and they're trying to do the right thing, too. But when we look at the Republicans in the Senate and in Congress, they know what they're lying. They know they're not telling the truth. They know that they're spreading disinformation and misinformation. They know what they are doing. And the fact that they have not held this president accountable, even though his violations are plain, obvious, and right in front of their noses, they allow him to get away with crimes against this nation. And also, now I was looking at, he's not going to turn over his tax returns. He's not going to obey the Supreme Court. He's not going to obey any court of this land. He's not going to follow any rule. He's going to do what he wants to do because he is planning on being a dictator. And the Republicans are at best enabling him to do that. At worst, they're in collusion with him.
Don't you think a lot of that, Rich, is because they don't know better? They know nothing. And the only coping mechanisms that we taught, we're responsible, and I love my brothers and my family, and they were hardcore military, but they're tucked into it. And at that time, a lot of things we just didn't know better, or we're doing the best we can to make the changes through bullying, and it doesn't work. So we have to learn.
I think, you know, it reminds me, I went to a medium type of show, and she channeled came forward with something from my grandfather, who I never knew because he died before I was conceived. And she said that he was apologizing for my father's stiffness because they didn't know any better. And that's possibly right. They didn't know any better. And Jesus, when he was before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate asked the crowd, who do you want, Barabbas, who was a representative of a violent response to oppression, war, or fighting back, and Jesus, who was representing, I guess, a nonviolent response. And the crowd says, crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, give us the criminal, crucify Jesus. And Jesus said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think that really speaks a lot about the population. However, the leadership, I think, is in many ways a different story. And it always has been. Even in the days, Jesus' days, the temple was corrupt. When Jesus went in to cleanse the temple by driving out the money changers, that was a protest against the corruption of the temple, using their positions to amass wealth for themselves, when what they were supposed to be doing is providing for the needy with that money. So I think what it really is like it may be systemic, and it's systemic in the sense that we have authoritarian structures, pyramid-like structures with one leader at the top and everybody else falling in line below. It's part of our culture, too. I mean, people who don't know any better often are willful in that they have what's called itching ears. The Bible talks about that. People with itching ears, they just want to hear what they want to hear. And they don't want to hear anything that goes against what they want to hear. When Jesus stood up in the synagogue and said, I have been blessed by God to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, set the prisoners free, the people in the synagogue were angry because what they expected to hear was him criticizing the Sadducees or criticizing the enemies of Israel. They didn't expect him to say, to change the wording of the, or to put together the scripture in a way that he did. That sort of put the responsibility on them and on us. And so we've got a system that encourages narcissists and sociopaths and psychopaths, or what we call antisocial personality types or disorders, to rise to power. Trump is a result of not only national, international forces, global forces, but also in the United States. I think we have an epidemic of narcissism. And narcissism is a malignant type of personality that doesn't really have much empathy for others, believes they're superior to others to the extent that the law doesn't even apply to them. So there's also fear and ignorance that's being played upon by the forces of authoritarianism. And this is all a plan, and it's not just a plan in the United States. I mean, Putin and a lot of the leaders around the world do not want democracy. They don't want people coming into the streets. They don't want them demanding that dictators resign and forcing dictators to resign. They want to nip democracy in the bud. And one way they're going to do that is by nipping democracy in our country. So,
well, they already have.
I just want to say that our government is capable of good things and bad things. And right now, the bad things are being perpetrated as good. And we have to be aware. We can't be complacent in our little devices and in these little sidesteps that are going on all around the country to keep the eye off the ball. Our planet is being poisoned. We are losing our fish population. There's thousands of birds gone. I mean, we really have to see what's happening to Mother Earth, because let's face it, we've only got one body. We've only got one Earth. Let's take care of them both, people, because that's all we really have. True resonance with everyone around the Earth. Love, peace, and harmony is the way to go.
Okay. So what I wanted to announce is that the following Sunday, on the 27th, I'm going to be speaking with historian Tony Kendi about his new book, Republican Jesus, How the Right Has Rewritten the Gospels. And he wants to talk about how the right has misinterpreted and misused the doctrines and theologies in the scriptures to support their own agenda rather than actually what was in the Bible itself and what the Bible in its historical context is really telling us. So go ahead and join us, Bible Study for Progressives.
And you also are on Facebook, Rich, R-I-C-H, Procida, P-R-O-C-I-D-A.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast, or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.